Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
I'm fired up. I'm just loving it. Loving what the utterance, loving what God's given us. And I tell you, just thinking about it, waking up to it in the morning. Just thinking about who we are in Christ Jesus, where we are in Christ Jesus. I've been to where we are. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all that we have in Him, what do we have in Him? All that He has. All that He is. We got it all in Christ Jesus. It's just amazing. And I'm just loving it. Just thinking about it, meditating on it, and wanting to walk in it more and more and more. Wanting to walk in that reality more and more and more. Just manifest God in our life, in our thoughts, in our actions, and everything about us. Because we are members of His body. We are one with Him. And so we've been just doing this series of identification, who we are in Christ Jesus. And we talked about in part one that we are praying from a heavenly place. We have a seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're seated there right now in the Spirit. We're seated with Him, present tense. In Christ, right now. So God isn't very far from us. We're seated, we're resting, and just ruling. That's what it means to be seated in the heavenly place. We're resting and we're ruling with Christ Jesus. And prayer isn't something we're struggling, you know, to do. We're not trying to get God to hear us, trying to get God to move on our behalf. Remember, we're not storming the gates of heaven. We don't need to storm a place that we're already seated in. Right? So we don't have to try to get God. He's right here. We're one with Him. We're seated with Him. Glory to God. So we need to really have that understand, know that. That is a spiritual reality about you as a born-again believer. In part two, we talked about being justified by faith. And the thing that the devil has always been doing since the very beginning is to move man away from trusting in and relying in the ability and life of God to trusting in His own works, trying to make things happen for himself. And it's really a ridiculous thing to try to make anything happen for yourself when God has already made everything happen for you in Christ Jesus. And of course, Adam and Eve, they already had it all. Created in the image and likeness of God. And then the devil comes along and says, if you do this, you can be like God. Adam should have answered, we already are. We've been created in His likeness already. Get behind me. But instead, he fell for it. And man has been falling for it ever since, been getting over into works rather than allowing themselves to be justified by faith. Faith is simply believing. Only believe. Just believe God's word. Believe what He says about you, and God's word does all the work, is what we talked about in part three of this series. God's word works. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word is the truth, and the word does the work of setting us free, helping us to walk in liberty. Amen. And then last time we talked about the mirror of God's word, that the word of God is likened to a mirror. And as we look into that mirror, we find ourselves. Yes, we learn about God, but we learn about ourselves. It's a reflection of you and I now that we've been made one with Him. And so we're discovering who we are. We're not getting in the word to try to become something. We're getting in the word to discover what we've already become by being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, by being saved, hallelujah, being a child of God, being one with the Spirit of God. I mean, it is just an awesome thing. When you know that you're one with Him, that you are complete in Him, which is what the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians. We are complete in him. But then, of course, we know that God is completing the work in us to help us to realize how complete we are in him, that we are complete, entirely complete in him. So we're complete in him, but we're learning about that. Our minds are getting renewed. That's why we're here tonight. We're getting our minds renewed, and we're recognizing and realizing that Jesus has done it all. It is a finished work. We are complete in him. And as we see it, then we can manifest it in our life. We can just simply walk it out in our life. So we're not trying to be better people. We're not trying to be better people. We're not trying to be godly people. We are as good as they get, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you can't get any higher than God's righteousness. I mean, if you're God's righteousness, you're right. You are right. And we are right in Christ Jesus. And so we're discovering that. And when we see in the mirror of the word that I'm right, when you see that you're right, then guess what you do? You act right. What do right people do? They act right. They live right. They do the right thing. So we're not wrong people trying to do right. We're not old sinners trying to do right. It never happens. It'll never happen. And that's why so many folks are struggling with so many things, struggling with sin, struggling with all kinds of bondages, because they see themselves as a sinner. They see themselves as carnal. They see themselves as wrong. And they're over here trying so hard to be right. But as a man thinketh in his heart concerning himself, that's how he's going to live his life. So you need to think of yourself according to God's word. You need to see yourself and declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so any sin that any believer commits, any child of God commits, any sin that a Christian commits is the result of either not knowing who he is or forgetting who he is. That's why the Bible says in the book of James, he says, you know, someone that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man beholding his face in a mirror. He looks, he sees and discovers who he is, but then he goes away from the mirror and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And he forgets who he was and begins to identify with sinful man. He forgets that he's a new creation. He forgets he's a child of God. He forgets he's the righteousness of God. He goes away, identifies with sinners, people that are either separated from God or they've been born again and they don't know who they are in God. And he begins to identify with them and begins to act accordingly. So we want to know who we are and know it so well that we just can never forget it. We just don't forget it. We wake up in the morning to it. And we go through our day knowing it, and we go to sleep knowing it at night. I am the righteousness of God. I am right. I am one with the Spirit of God. I'm a holy man or a holy woman of God. I am born of God. Spirit of God lives in me. Everything he is in me right now. And if you do find yourself where you do something wrong, you mess up according to the flesh, man, that's a good time to just rise up and say, I'm above that. I'm better than that. I'm the righteousness of God. That's not who I am. I repent of that. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I forgot who I was. That's why you missed it. I forgot who I was. I forgot your word. I forgot what you said about me. I forgot what you made me to be. And then we looked over there in 1 John, and there's several places over in 1 John where it tells us that if we are born of God or we abide in God, we do not sin. How many of you have been born of God? He says, if you've been born of God, you abide in God, you do not sin. Like at 3-4 places in 1 John we looked at. Born of God, abide in God, you don't sin. Because that's who you are. It's just what you do. Somebody say, I'm born again. Born of God. I don't sin. That's just what I don't do. It's who you are. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we have been set free from sin. We have been set free from every kind of bondage already. We don't sin. We're above it. We're better than that. We've got the seed of God in us, the spirit of God is, the nature of God is. This is who we are. We love God. We love life. We love doing things His way. It's who we are. We follow Him. We yield simply to the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives His life through us. Oh, this life is a rest. It's a joy. We're just here for the ride. Let God flow. Let God go. Let God do what God does. He does righteousness. He does good. He does right all the time. So we just got to remember who we are and yield. Be conscious of the Spirit of God and yield to Him. And we will not sin. To sin is to miss the mark, to err, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness, to do or go wrong, to wander from the law of God, to violate God's law, or violate God's word. Again, the only reason why we would sin is because we forgot what kind of person we were in Christ Jesus. We just lost sight of ourselves. But when we understand who we are, we do not sin. We have been set free from sin. Anything that is sin, anything that's a bondage, anything that would try to control your life, any kind of addiction, any kind of wicked thing that you're being controlled by, you've been freed from. But if you're trying to free yourself because you see yourself still doing these things, more than you're seeing yourself according to the word, see, then you'll never experience true freedom. You've got to know you are free. You are free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In other words, you don't just stop doing the wrong thing. I mean, you are free from it in your soul, in your spirit. You are completely clean. Completely free from that thing. And that's how you and I are to be, because that's exactly how we are in Christ Jesus, free of sin. Notice in Romans chapter 6, let's go back to verse 4. Why not? Therefore, we were buried with him. Notice we were buried. Past tense, this is done. So if you were buried with him, then you must have already died with him. And if you already died with him, that means you must have already been crucified with him. See, there's a lot of folks still running around trying to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. But you've already been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. We've already been crucified. We've already died. We've already been buried. I'm talking about the old man, the old Jew, the one that lived life apart from Christ, did not know the Lord, did not follow, weren't interested in his ways, even though you might have been a little religious, but you had never been born again. That old sinful person died, crucified with Christ, died, buried. It's been done. See, because some translations get it wrong, people run around, teach and believe that they need to be crucifying themselves, crucifying their flesh, putting to death the deeds of the body. And that's one translation, putting to death. But another translation says, done to the deeds of the flesh. Done to it. Done, dead. It's already dead to it. Not trying to die to sin. Not trying to die to sin. Now, Paul, the apostle, said, I die daily. But he wasn't talking in regards to the flesh. He wasn't talking in regards to sin. He was talking about that every day he was putting his life in jeopardy, that he was putting his life on the line, that when he went out every day, he was laying his life down. He was ready to die that day because he was risking his life. He was ready to die. He had already settled it in his heart that he's ready to die for the gospel. So he was already as good as dead on the inside to his life here on the earth. So that's what he was saying. He was doing that every day. He was taking his life in his hand. He wasn't dying to the flesh daily, because we're already dead to the flesh. I said, we're already, now a lot of folks don't have this. A lot of the church world don't preach it that way. We're dying and we're trying and you're dead. That's what water baptism's all about. You're going down under the water as a sign of that you were buried with Christ. And when you come up out of the water, it's symbolic that you're a new creation raised up with Christ. So we do that, water baptized. We go, this is symbolic of this. And then we turn around and say, you got to die to the flesh. You got to crucify the flesh. It's done. Get it. Get a hold of that. It's done. You are a living dead man. A zombie. According to the flesh. Your flesh is dead. You don't live according to the flesh anymore. You don't live according to the flesh anymore. You've died to that. I've died to that. Say, I've died to the flesh. I've died to sin. Verse 4 again. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You got a new life to live now, because you are new. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. They have died. Been laid to rest, passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, open your eyes and see. All things about you. Everything about you is new. You are new. You got a new life. You're not the old person anymore. It's done. I said it's done. So when the unrenewed mind tries to connect with the past with the help of the devil, the devil tries to help connect you to your path and past and tries to get you to identify with who you were, you have to speak up. You have to answer it. And you have to say, that's not me anymore. That man is dead. They buried him several years ago or months ago, depending on how long you've been saved. That old man is gone. He's dead. That's not who I identify with anymore. I don't identify with the old man. I do not identify with the old man. You know, I remember when I lived out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and, you know, I had this bag of pictures that, you know, when I had moved, I brought with me. It was pictures of the old man in the old life, doing the old things that the old man did. And I looked at these, and I said, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And, you know, there's that part of the flesh that says, you know, you can't throw stuff like that out. It's memories, you know. I mean, you got to hang on to those kind of things. And I hung on to it for a little while, and then I went back looking at it. I guess I don't want to look at this anymore. I don't like that guy. I don't like him. And so I threw all of it out. I don't identify it within it. I don't identify with that man anymore. He's passed away. It's not who I am. I identify with Christ. When I see Christ, I see my kind of life. I see what I'm all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. When I see Christ, I see me. That's who I am. I'm a member of his body. I'm one spirit with him. That's who I am now. That's who I identify with. I identify with Jesus. That's my new photograph, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives me all kinds of images of him as I get in the Word of God. I get to see exactly who he is. Now, it doesn't matter how tall he was, what color his eyes were. Come on. What kind of robe he wore. Did he wear sandals or did he wear Nikes? None of that matters. I said, none of that matters. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, it's better for you that I go away. Because then you'll stop judging me according to the flesh, according to appearance. And you'll be able to know me just according to the Spirit, because that's who I am. That's who I am. The real you is a spirit being. The real you we cannot see tonight. The real you is inside that earthen body. You are not an earthen body. The real you is inside that earthen body. And how we see that real you is through how you live your life, your character, your integrity, the wisdom, the peace, the goodness of God that flows out of you. That's who you are. You're not a body. Now, the world lives for the body. The body is everything. The body is everything. In fact, you see people say things like, well, now we're a body and we're a body, soul, and spirit being. You ever hear somebody say something like that before? But they get the whole thing backwards. They got the whole thing backwards. Because the Bible says in Thessalonians that you have a spirit, soul, and a body, putting the spirit first. But people like to put the body first. Oprah Winfrey, they like to put the body first because they're body ruled and they're body conscious and it's all about the body. But we're not all about the body. The body is not the highest thing in this world for us. The world, all it could think about is beautifying the body and gratifying the body and the pleasures of the flesh. You and I have to look at the flesh as pitiful because we live on such a higher plane now. We're experiencing the ecstasy of the glory of God. Come on. We're enjoying pleasures forevermore. We're living on a much higher level, thinking on a much higher level. That's why the flesh just don't mean as much to us as it means to the world. The world, the flesh, the flesh. Everybody's got their cell phones, Okay? Why do people do that? Because it's all about the flesh. It's all about the flesh. Lord gave me a revelation on that one day. He said vanity, which is what that is, vanity is spiritual insanity. People that are all into the flesh like that, all into that, they just can't get their eyes off themselves and they want to show everybody themselves. It's an insanity spiritually. You've lost your spiritual mind. So you're just living for the earth. We're not just living for the earth. Come on, are you kidding me? The earth? Really? We're talking about heaven? Heaven? We're talking about God. And then you got all the love songs in the world, Heaven is a relationship with a woman. It'd be like heaven. Guy knows nothing about heaven. Whew, you want to know about heaven? Get over here in the Word. Hallelujah. The Word, praise God, the presence of God. We want to experience Him, walk in His life, and have a vision, not of ourselves, but a vision of Christ in us, on us, living through us. Amen. That's a selfie right there. That's a selfie right there. You want a selfie? I'm gonna Facebook that. I'm gonna Facebook that right there. There I am. More than a conqueror. Seated in heavenly places. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey! The fragrance of Christ. I can smell it. That's your selfie. We need to get a stick that we can. People should walk around and have their Bibles, Come on, guys, let's pose. Look at that. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Gonna Facebook that. We look good. We look good. Woo-hoo-hoo, we're looking good. You don't look any better than this. These are some good images right here. This is it. This is the image right here. Who we are. Amen. And then we just walk in that confidence of who we are in Him. Can you say amen? Amen. So he says in Romans 6, in Romans 6, and in verse 4, now that we understand that we're dead and been buried, now what? We can walk in newness of life. We're new, and we can walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, which we have, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to bondage. So stop trying to be free of stuff and start declaring to the devil, I'm not a slave to sin, and I'm free of this. I'm free of that. That is not who I am. Anything messing with you, any kind of habitual thing, you answer it that way. You don't sit there and go, I'm trying, I keep stumbling, I keep falling. That's not how you talk. You're not stumbling and falling, you're seated. You're sitting, you're resting, and you're ruling. You just forgot who you were. So rise up and declare who you are. And declare it, 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 and get stirred up about it, get fired up about it, and know who you are. And what's going to happen? You're going to walk in newness of life. You'll walk in it. Hallelujah. So yeah, do we repent? Sure. Lord, forgive me for forgetting who I was. Getting my eyes off the word, getting my eyes on the flesh, completely forgetting who I was, I repent of that. And I thank you, Lord, that is not who I am. You delivered me from that. You set me free from that. I am free of that. I'm free of sin. I am not a slave to sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You're a has-been when it comes to sin. You has been freed from sin. Has been. It's done. Somebody say has been. See, it's not something we're trying to do. It's done. It's done. For he who has died, past tense, has died, has been freed from sin. And again, that word sin is talking about not just our record being cleared, because a lot of people say it that way. That's a part of it. That's not all of it. The word sin there is sinfulness. From the very sinfulness, the very desire to sin, the nature to sin, that sin nature, you've been set free from it. You've been delivered from it. Verse 8, now if we died... So has died, verse 7. Verse 8, we died. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See, it's easy to live with him when you recognize the old man's dead. You're not the old man anymore trying to be a new man. You're not the old person trying to be a new person. You're the new person. And the old person died. It's done. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. And we were raised with him. So guess what? We die no more. It's done. It is finished. I just love thinking about this. I love talking about this. I love meditating on this. It's finished. It's done. The more I say it, the more I think on it, the stronger it gets in me. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. I don't die anymore. Death no longer has dominion over him. It has no dominion over him. It has no dominion over us. Say, death has no dominion over me. Death tries to mess with you. You say, you don't have any dominion over me. Can't come in this house. Can't touch me. You have no dominion over me, death. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Reckon. That also means consider. My margin says consider. Consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you got to consider yourself already dead to sin. Not someone trying to get free from it. Not trying to get delivered from it. Not trying to die to it. But you're dead to it already. And alive to God. Say, I'm alive to God. Whew, man. I'm alive to God. That's who I am. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. That'd be ridiculous. If you're dead to it, you've been freed from it, you're not a slave to it, don't let it in. Just say no. Because it always will come knocking on your door. As long as you're in this world, there's a devil, and he'll always come a-prowling. He's the tempter. He even had the audacity to try to tempt Jesus. Didn't he? Didn't he? What did Jesus do? Resisted him. Resisted him. Resisted him with the word. Spoke what the word said about the situation. The devil was trying to make Jesus conscious of his flesh. Jesus had been fasting, following the leading of the Spirit. And so, you know, the devil came and said, you're hungry. You're so hungry. You've been out here 40 days. You're hungry. Turn these stones to, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Do something. Do something to satisfy yourself. Jesus didn't sit there and think about how he was hungry according to the flesh. Was he hungry according to the flesh? Yeah, the Bible says he was. He was hungry. And the Satan came and said, oh, you're hungry. Now, let's really just get lost in this idea. Let's just get lost in this reality that you're hungry. Let's just get all into the flesh. Let's really think about this desire in your flesh. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus immediately came back to who he was according to the word. He immediately came back to who he was according to the spirit. He understood he was a spirit and that he did not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In other words, the word was his spiritual food. He focused on his spiritual appetite. He had a physical appetite. He was hungry. And the devil tried to focus on that physical appetite. But Jesus wouldn't allow his focus to be on his physical hunger. He put his focus on his spiritual appetite, his desire for the word of God. And that's what he spoke. He answered it. He answered the devil, didn't he? He didn't sit there quietly, he's tormenting my mind. He didn't do that. He answered it. Right? You got to answer the devil. You got to answer these things. You can't just sit there. You got to remind the devil. You got to remind yourself. You got to put your flesh in its place. And you got to rise up and remind yourself, I got a spiritual appetite. I got an appetite to know God. I got an appetite to fulfill the plan of God for my life. I am hungry to serve God. Are you hungry to serve God? Are you hungry to know him? Hungry to serve him? Sure you are. Sure you are. Of course you are. You're born of him. You crave him. You're crazy about him. You love God. You love his word. Sometimes you don't feel that way. Why? Because the flesh is screaming. And the devil's pointing at it. Satisfy it. Satisfy it. Come on. Look, look, look how hungry you are. Look at what you want. Look at what you need. Look at what you could have. Look at the flesh. And you got to say, yeah, but I don't live by that alone. I'm a spirit being. I'm a child of God. I got an awesome plan for my life. I'm living for bigger things than that. And all these things will be added to me. Natural food and the things of this world that are nice and good will be added to me. I'm not in bondage. I'm not pursuing it. I'm pursuing Him. I'm going, that's just add-on stuff. That's just stuff they just throw in. They just throw that in. That's bonus stuff. We're going after the big stuff. We're going after spiritual things. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's who you are. Now, you stir yourself up and you remind yourself of that. I just don't really feel like, you know, I just don't feel spiritual, and I just don't feel like I want to get in God's Word. Stop talking lies. Of course you want to get in God's Word. And of course you're hungry for spiritual things. That's ridiculous. You're a spiritual being. You're dead to the sin. Dead to those old things. Of course you are. You're hungry. Love God. You're passionate for Him. The problem is you're not thinking about it. You're not talking it. You're thinking about and talking about the things of the flesh. And that's what's causing you to allow sin to reign in your body. But somebody said, no more. No more. We're gonna remind ourselves continually. I'm a child of God. I'm full of the love of God. I'm full of the life of Jesus. Divinity flows through me. Oh, hallelujah. Every cell of my body celebrates life. Healing and health, it's who I am. Strength and wholeness, it's who I am. I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm not trying to get a blessing. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You just can't get away from it. You just can't get away from living for God. You just can't get away from being righteous and doing righteous things and holy, good, godly things, because that's who you are. You're a slave to righteousness. You're addicted to the truth. You might as well face it. You're addicted to love. You might as well face it. You're addicted to the love of God. Come on. You might as well... You might as well face it. You're addicted to this word. Yeah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I don't feel like it. That's because your focus is wrong. You're focusing on the flesh. Come on over here. I'm telling you, you know, how many of you have had moments where it's like you had to push yourself to read the word? You know, you just had to do it. You know, the flesh was just so, you're so conscious of the flesh, so conscious of earthly things, but you know, my God, I got to read the word. And so you push yourself and you get in there and you read and you yawn a few times, but you keep pressing. Next thing you know, it starts flowing. You start liking it. And next thing you know, you go, I'm going to read through my Bible this week. Has anybody had that experience? Well, you just read, I'm going to eat the whole thing right now. I love you, God. What happened? You simply stirred up your awareness of your spiritual appetite. You just stirred up the real you. And next thing you know, you discovered this incredible hunger for the truth. And unfortunately, many times by the next day, people don't feel that anymore. Because they immediately go right back to thinking and talking the flesh. what they got to do, what they don't have, what they need, how much they want, they desire, and I'm hungry. And they talk, all these things, get all entangled in it, and then just lose sight of who they really are. This hungry glutton for God. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's just who you are. Can you say amen? Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That was talking about your old life. You're ashamed of the old life. I'm ashamed of the old life. I don't glory in that. Some people walk around and go, you don't know what I gave up to serve Jesus. Seriously? Why don't you just go back to it? Really? You kidding me? Paul said it was like dung. Amen. The old things that he thought was so great, he counts as rubbish. Rubbish. Things that he lived for, things that he gloried in, things that made him look like something, a religious Pharisee. He said, it's all rubbish. It's garbage. That's what he considers it to be. That's what I consider the old dead life. Life, anything apart from God, it's rubbish. It's garbage. I don't want anything to do with it. I like this new life. I like this new life, and I want to know it more and more and more, and I want to walk in it, express it more and more and more. Hallelujah. Get my mind renewed so my thoughts get further and further and further away from that stuff. And you know, the further away you get from it, the more foreign and just strange it all appears to you. I mean, there's stuff I just look back to and I go, that's nuts. Meanwhile, I lived in it one time. You know, the old man lived in it. Now you look at it and go, that is, you know, you wouldn't want anything to do with it. Wouldn't want to go anywhere. You don't identify it with the devil. Couldn't even tempt me with it. Couldn't even tempt me with it. Things just lose its glamour and glitz after you've walked in the glory. Oh, the glamour and glitz of this world does not compare to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin. Look how many times he's saying that. These are all different verses I'm reading. Saying the same thing. Drilling it in. This is who you are. This is who you are. Having been set free from sin. Having been. Say, I have been. Set free from sin. Having been set free from sin. And having become slaves of God, before it said slaves of righteousness, I'm God's slave. I can't get away from him. I got to obey him. I love him. I can't help it. Being slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's unceasing, absolute fullness of life. That's the end of those things. The end of sin is death. But the end of righteousness, the end of being a slave to God, is unceasing, absolute fullness of life. Glory be to God. And then over in Romans 8, verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I got the law of the Spirit of life in me now. And I've been set free. You have been set free from the law of sin and death. And whenever I think of a law, the law of sin and death, that's a spiritual law. Just like there are natural laws, like the law of physics, the law of gravity. You know, you throw something up, it's going to come down, right? Well, that's how we were. As sinners, we were bound by the law of sin and death. We couldn't help it. It's what we did. Just like gravity controls us in the natural. Sin and death controlled us in the spirit. Just as gravity is a part of our life all the time in the natural. Right now, gravity's holding you in your chair. Gravity's working in your life constantly, all the time, right now. That natural law of gravity is holding you down in the natural. That's what sin and death was doing to you when you were in the world and apart from Christ. Sin and death held you. It held you. It holds the people in the world. They can't help it. Even in the good things that they do, their motives are corrupt. They can't help it. They're sinners by nature. It's who they are. They're held by that law of sin and death. They just hold them, just like gravity holds you. But the awesome thing now is we've been set free from that law of sin and death. It'd be like getting set free right now from the law of gravity. Totally different, right? Totally different. Glory to God. You just float around the room. Just jump as high as you want. Just keep going. Do tumble sauce, you know. Right? If you got free from the law of gravity, we could just fly. We just fly all over the place. We'd just be nice for a while. We got set free from the law of sin and death and placed into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, just in the same way gravity holds us in the natural, the Spirit of life holds us in the Spirit. It's what we do now. The law of the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. We think of the Spirit. We flow with the Spirit. We flow with this newness of life. Hallelujah. That's what we are. That's who we are. That's what we're connected to now. It's as natural to the Spirit, the new creation, the born again Spirit, man or woman of God. It's as natural to yield and flow with the Holy Spirit as it is for your natural man to yield to gravity. You can't get away from it. You cannot get away from gravity, friend. You cannot get away from the Spirit of God. You cannot get away from this law of the Spirit and life. It's what you are. It's what you're about. It's what you produce. It's who you are according to the Spirit. So all you got to do, friend, is get your mind renewed, keep yourself over here aware of who you are, and what's going to happen? You're just going to yield and flow and move with the Spirit of God because it's natural for you. It's who you are. It's what you do. You can't get away from it. You don't have to try to be spiritual. You don't have to try to hear from the Spirit. You don't have to try to yield to the Spirit. You don't have to try. Become conscious of the Spirit. Be conscious of the fact that this is who you are. And guess what's going to happen? You're just going to yield to Him. You're going to flow with Him. You're going to move with Him. Because that's who you are. That's where you are. That's what you're in. You're in that law. It's a law. It works all the time. And you're in it. You're in it. It's so hard to be spiritual. No, it's not. If you're born again, it's the easiest thing in the world to be spiritual. Easiest thing in the world. What's making it difficult is you not being aware of who you are and what you have and where you are in Christ Jesus. That's all it is. Because once you become aware of it, then you stop resisting it. And yielding to the flesh. You just let it flow. Let this new life flow. Just walk in this new life that God has for you. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm free of sin. Now, if you're free of sin, you got to understand, then you're free of Satan. Because he's the father of sin. You're free of Satan and you're free of sickness. Because sickness is a byproduct of sin. I heard one person say it this way. He said, sickness
is the foul offspring of its mother's sin and its father, Satan. That's what sickness is. You and I have been set free from sin. Praise God, we're not the offspring. We're not the offspring of sin. Hallelujah. We're not the offspring of Satan. So we don't get sick. That's ridiculous. You need to look at infirmity and say, that's ridiculous. You can't come in here. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been set free from you. I've been delivered of sin. I've been delivered of Satan. You can't come in here. And you can just laugh at the devil because he can't touch you. He can't touch you. You're not in his kingdom anymore. You've been delivered out of his kingdom. And you're in the kingdom of God's Son now. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm in the kingdom of God now. I'm in God's kingdom now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.